we are talking veldskåns this evening, but not any kind of veldskåns. These are registered veldskåns. Nick Dreyer is the chief executive and co-founder of a company that has taken a shoe that was made by farmers in the veld out of raw hide and leather probably 120 years ago. I mean, people, if you read Commando, Denise Reitz's Commando, people were making veldskåns in the veld.
Bruce, it's been around for a very long time. More than 100 years.
Have you not got any contemporary ideas of your own?
Thank you.
Anytime.
It's a lot easier when you've got about 100 years of brand equity.
Okay. Now, tell me, before we get to the veldskåns and what got you there, you actually are a hotelier by trade. I mean, that's how you trained.
Yes.
You worked in the hospitality industry.
Yes. I studied hospitality management in the Cape and worked at some great hotels, the Bay Hotel in Camps Bay, and then ended up working for a long period of time at Elliman House in Bantry Bay, which is one of the great hotels of South Africa.
But that is owned by Paul Harris, one of the co-founders of First Rand Group,
That's
right?
correct. Okay. That's correct. And the hotel is one of those iconically South African places where you can see some of the best South African art and you can taste the greatest South African wines. And I really got a feel for, you know, the being absolutely passionate about South Africa during my time at Elliman House. And then, you know, went on to do some other stuff and got involved in the art world and then started an entrepreneurial journey about 7 years ago.
An entrepreneurial journey suggests that veldskåns is not your first idea.
No, it's not. My first idea was to start an art advisory business, which didn't fail as much as it didn't start. It just turned out that there wasn't a lot of folks in South Africa that were willing to pay for my advice, which is okay. But you learn a lot in those early days building little businesses, and you learn a lot about the power of invoicing and getting actual transactions going.
Yeah, I mean, but essentially what you then stumbled upon was this idea of veldskåns, because you weren't a fan, I don't think, of the ancient traditions of the shoe.
No, and not even a huge fan of shoes, to be honest. It was the strangest conversation. Ross Zondag, my great friend and business partner in this, he was driving around in Cape Town, and I was driving back from Plet to Cape Town. And in a period of 6 hours, we started discussing how poor the South African team looked at the Olympics. That's where it started. And the conversation went something like, yo, but the Americans have got a basher, and they've got deck shoes, and they look so smart. What could South Africans have been wearing? And Ross said, well, we've got veldskåns. And I said, yeah, but they're terrible. They're just not fun. And
because they hadn't really evolved. I mean, yes, they'd evolved from the smelly sort of homemade shoe of 120 years ago to a more commercial version, but they'd stayed essentially the same for 100 years.
What they had going for them was that they're loved. You know, anybody that has a pair of veldskåns has a great story about veldskåns. And they're known for being really tough, really hard-wearing, and like reliable and comfortable and better over time. So they felt a little bit, they're quite South African, resilient. Yeah. And it just needed to be looked at through a new lens. And in that one conversation, we had a guy working for us, and we photoshopped just bright soles and bright laces onto them. And as I got the message back and saw the pictures, I thought, bang, there's something here.
And nobody had trademarked the name veldskåns.
Well, that's Ross for you, because we were sitting there going, what should we call this veldskåns business? And he goes, is it Nick and Ross's shoes? Or? And Ross is a pretty simple thinker. He's very smart, but he gets through to the nucleus of the problem. And he goes, let's call it veldskåns. And I said, you can't call a table company table. Turns out you can. And it's 6 hours later during this car journey. By the time I arrived in Cape Town, we'd registered a PDY Limited, veldskåns PDY, veldskåns Shoes PDY Limited. And we'd popped in an application to trademark the word veldskåns as a brand, not as a descriptor. You know, we're very cautious that we consider ourselves the custodians of veldskåns. And the custodians, not just of our veldskåns, but custodians of South Africa's veldskåns and South Africa's message. So it's not a hard trademark.
No, but you know nothing about shoes.
No,
you don't care about shoes. You're not even big fans of the shoes. But you kind of figure, I can make these things look better than they look right now. You've got no idea about the shoe market. You've got no idea how the distribution systems work, how the manufacturing works, whether anybody in South Africa would even put a neon yellow sole on a Veldskoen for you. At this point, you have no idea. You've had 6 hours of theoretical conversation.
Yeah, even worse, we figured we'd start an e-commerce shoe business, and neither of us had any experience in e-commerce, almost not even from buying on e-commerce. So we set off for about 3 or 4 months immersing ourselves in learning how to do this. But we had our day job, so this stuff happened between 10 o'clock at night and 12 o'clock in the evening. And Ross and I learned how to build an e-commerce site, and we had to go out and find a manufacturer and ensure that the quality was right. And it was nice and small, so we didn't have to think about things like scale, which came later. But we got really hands down into the product and built out a really cool product. And once we'd learned how to sell some online, they started selling. And when we started to learn how to advertise digitally, folks started talking about us online. And that was the moment when we met our third founder. We didn't meet him. He's actually a schoolmate of ours. All three of us went to the same school in the same year. Nick Latouf, and he had a digital agency just starting in Cape Town. And he was the first guy to be quite supportive of the project. The rest of the folks that we'd spoken to had found it quite comical, including our wives at that time. And Nick was, I think, the first guy that saw value in it, and we immediately said, would you like to join us as a shareholder?
We need some money. Because, I mean, you literally, there's the term bootstrapping. You could maybe coin the term Veldskoen strapping, because yeah, you started this business with nothing.
It was a challenge that Ross and I set ourselves right at the beginning. We wanted to see if we could do it ourselves. And you know, we meet a lot of young people now that are starting things. And the one thing we can tell them is you don't have to be suited for your idea. Your skill sets don't have to be absolutely aligned with what you want to achieve. But what you do have to do is you have to endeavor. You've got to endeavor to learn how to do it, do every single little piece. But in doing so, not only do you get your hands on your own business, but that incredible expense line on your future profit and loss is as low as it can possibly be. And that's the best way to start. And we started that, A, as a challenge, and B, we really wanted to learn how to build this business. And we set out to do so.
Tell me about the manufacturer. I mean, do you still use the same manufacturer? Are you manufacturing yourselves now? How did that relationship evolve?
Yeah, so we went through a couple of manufacturers to try and get the product right, and then we settled upon one and then scaled that out a little bit. And then we moved on to a wonderful, wonderful team in Durban called Hopewell Shoes, and we've worked very closely with them. They were the best fit for us in terms of being able to scale into the future, because we realized early that there was an opportunity here to create a global shoe market for Veldskoen, and you needed the right partner in terms of manufacturing. But they're an 80-year-old to second generational business that has made shoes in South Africa for a very long time. They do an iconic job, and there's two things about making stuff in South Africa that we really like. A, you can't make Veldskoen somewhere else.
No.
Okay, so you've got to make it in South Africa. But the second thing is the great advantage is if there's an issue with our thing or just with our new retail relationships, I can hop on a plane and I can shake hands with Mohammed and we can go through the process together. And that's a huge advantage.
Absolutely huge advantage. When did you get the idea that this has got a global application? Because, I mean, they were kind of trendy in Zimbabwe amongst a certain group of young Zimbabweans at one point. Then kind of lots of Afrikaans people may have worn Veldskoens. And if you had like a farming bent and if you went to Sadara in KZN, maybe you would have worn Veldskoens. What gave you the gumption to expect that there would be people like Ashton Kutcher, for example, Prince Harry, and Mark Cuban, the great entrepreneur, who would actually think to themselves, this is brilliant?
Well, it's a great question. It came early. That two things happened. One, we were diving into the online shoe market in America, and we came across an amazing business called Allbirds, who make sneakers out of merino wool.
Yeah, we've spoken to them. They do wool shoes.
They do wool shoes, and watch this space. You know, South Africa is going to be starting to produce a lot of merino wool. So what, you know, as a material, it's incredible. And what they started about a year and a half before us and scaled up really quickly. So we knew that there was this appetite for online shoes, and there was this space that we could move into. But the second thing that happened is when we learned how to build an e-commerce store, learned how to build our own fulfillment services and all the rest of it, why can't you do it in England? And why can't you do it in America? Because we just done it. It was as easy as getting on a plane, sitting in a hotel in London, and building an e-commerce store. And by the time we'd got there, we'd learned how to do it. So why not? And we knew that there was enough South Africans that would give you a little bit of traction. We know that the shoe at this point has got great word of mouth. So it was cheap to start. To start an e-commerce store in the UK, we did that in the first 6 months.
How many pairs have you sold in the last year?
That's an interesting question. I think about 20-odd thousand pairs.
20,000
pairs. In South Africa?
What's your target for next year? In South Africa?
In South Africa.
Globally?
Maybe up to about 25,000. Yeah.
What's your target for next year?
100.
Nick Dreyer is the highly ambitious chief executive and co-founder of Feltskoen. We're going to talk to him about a new contract. We've been very critical of Woolies on this program because Woolies have had a propensity to copy other people's ideas. This time, however, they're not doing it. They've actually bought in Feltskoen. How often have you seen somebody come up with a really great idea and you thought, but I had that idea 5 years ago. I didn't. And that's the experience that Nick Dreyer has had, the chief executive and co-founder at Feltskoen. The picture you're painting is a picture of the easiest entry into a business in human history. It can't have been as easy as you suggest. You're kind of going, we're kind of a couple of bumbling oafs who got together and we built a website. We created an e-commerce site. We didn't know what we were doing, but we did it anyway. We couldn't make shoes, so we found a guy to make them. You make it sound incredibly easy. It's surely...
It's not that easy, Bruce. I mean, the one thing we're not talking about is the amount of hours that went into it.
Yeah.
The amount of sacrifice in terms of time in the first 6 months was severe. But it was easy for us because we were enjoying what we were doing. Nothing about it felt like work. Everything about it felt like an adventure, and it felt like we were, this is going to sound a little bit philosophical, but we felt as if we were doing a good thing in South Africa, because all of a sudden we were starting to see our audience respond to the fact that we'd put a new lens on something, and we were championing all the like great stuff about South Africa, the J Bay shoe, the Pinotage shoe. And you know, I had Bayers Twitter phone me and said, don't call your shoe Pinotage without phoning me. And but we had all this wonderful energy. So the hard work, you know, it's obviously there.
At what point did you give up your day jobs?
About 6 or 7 months in, there was a great moment at the first Long for Life conference where the descriptor of our investment said, we found these guys in a 3x3 meter office in Woodstock. And it was exactly right.
How did that happen? Because you have as a big shareholder, you have Brian Joffe, who is the founder and chief executive of Long for Life. How did that discovery happen?
So they found us. I think it was just through the interest of the shoes. We were highly visible. They got in touch with us and said their mergers and acquisitions guys came and said they'd like to talk to us. We sat in an office. We spoke about our plans. We were very, very focused in what we wanted to achieve. And I think they identified with that. In choosing Long for Life, we were very, very cautious in terms of...
Had you had other approaches? I mean, were some financiers sniffing around? So these were the first guys who came along?
These were the first guys that came along.
It's like you know, marrying your first date when you're 16, isn't it?
Yeah, but so many things in this business have happened like that. It really is. It's a blessed business when the right things have happened at the right time. What we wanted was retail. At that point in the business, we needed retail, but we needed a little soft landing in retail. And Long for Life had just, you know, their lifestyle retail. They've got great products like Sportsman's Warehouse, Outdoor Warehouse, and Sorbet.
And it was the Feltskoen.
And Feltskoen. And it was a really great fit because we could get into our first retail experience with Outdoor Warehouse. And it was, you know, retail's a tough game. You've got to learn how to do that. And they were very patient with us while we learned exactly how to do everything. And we built it, and we knew that if we could do what we do, which is the digital storytelling part, we could drive sales in Outdoor Warehouse. And it has happened. And they've done an amazing job of working with us.
So often, though, you've got three people who are partners in a business. A funder comes in and starts having a conversation. One of you is going to have cold feet. One of you is going to be nervous. One of you is going to be apprehensive. One of you is going to start second-guessing the others. There's going to be tension. Or were you all like, hey, somebody's interested, let's give them what they want? Was it a bit Dragon's Denny that way?
No, not at all. It was quite analytical. The one thing we did know is what our path was. We knew what we wanted to achieve in Feltskoen.
What was the goal? What was
the goal was and still is that we want to create South Africa's most iconic apparel, something that is uniquely South African, not just for South Africans, but for everyone that visits South Africa.
Yeah.
And to achieve that, you can't just talk to hipsters and you can't just talk to fashionistas. You need to talk to everyone. So the other day I had an amazing moment. I was in the airport lounge and the CEO of a company came over and sat next to me because he recognized the Feltskin and he was wearing a pair of Feltskin. And he said, "Nick, oh, lovely Feltskin." And we got chatting for a second and we sat there and all the staff in the lounge were wearing Feltskin as well. And that made me so proud because that's what we want to do.
Why are the Global Youth Choir not wearing Feltskin?
We are talking to them. And we wanted to get...
I think you may have missed that boat.
Oh, my God. The Americans Got Talent's commercial rights thing is just crazy. Oh, really? I've been down the road.
Trevor Noah, why is he not wearing Feltskin and putting his feet on the desk?
We've got so many great South Africans. I'm sure Trevor, if he's out there, he's welcome to a pair of shoes anytime. But we have great, great South Africans all over the world. And this has been the fascinating thing about this journey. The minute we started, especially in America, we had all these unique South Africans that you'd never heard of that are doing unbelievable things in the world message us going, "Nick, I'm wearing Feltskin in Washington, D.C. I'd never thought I'd ever see the day." And we go and visit with them and we're in touch with them. And in fact, we're building out the business with distributors, with great South Africans that have done amazing things all over the world and not necessarily in shoes.
Yeah, and they're just seeing and they're feeling that sort of sense of nostalgia and they want the roots. They want to be tied to the South Africa. Tell me about the Woolworths relationship, because you are the first guys to be an outside shoe supplier to Woolworths. They usually get their shoes made by other suppliers, but they all have their own brands.
Yeah.
You're the first own brand to go onto their shelves.
It's a very interesting story. Our good friend at Investec, Tristan Farrell, she's got us in touch with Michael Coles at Woolworths, and we were having a breakfast with him. And Michael was traveling, and he's a busy guy, and he almost couldn't take the meeting. He tried to cancel it, but we managed to sit him down for coffee, got chatting about the story, and it's about the story. We were telling about what we were doing in the world and what we were doing in South Africa, and it resonated with him, and he identified with the fact that we could potentially get into Woolworths and then and be the first footwear or local fashion brand inside Woolworths.
And how does that change the dynamic of your business? Because suddenly you've got a network of orders to fulfill. And you've got to fulfill those orders.
Yeah.
So going into the Christmas season, there's going to be demand.
No, exactly. So you need to think about scale in terms of manufacturing. You've also got to think about inventory management. That becomes highly critical, a critical component of the business. And we've had to upskill our staff, and we've had to upskill ourselves to be able to manage for that. But what's interesting is this is the first rodeo for Woolworths and for us.
Yeah.
So, you know, we've been labeling shoes for the first time, because they also don't normally have an outside company that's involved with them. So it's been a really good journey. The one thing I can say is that they have absolutely embraced this project, and they have been passionate about it. They've been incredibly helpful. Their team is very professional, and we're very proud to be working with them.
They've got such a good opportunity, though, to make good on the Frankie's stories and the Baby Carrie stories, and to take South African homegrown products like your own and become partners and to help you grow your business.
Well, and I hope it doesn't end with us. You know, if we can kick open the door for a great South African retailer to partner with great young South African startups that manufacture things in South Africa, that is just a great thing. And, you know, I'm hoping that we can facilitate or stimulate a little bit more of this, because we'll increase manufacturing, we'll increase local expertise, and we'll end up making some more jobs and doing well for the local economy.
How much of the business do you guys still own, the founders?
Of the founders. We've got a 51% stake in Feltskin.
So you've got, you managed to get Mark Cuban on board. He's invested, has he not?
Yes, so that business is a US business. It's called Kalibuntu.
Kalibuntu,
California,
right.
And Ubuntu.
Lovely.
Together. And
and then you'll have a UK business.
So we own the UK business. We own 100% of the UK business, Feltskin Limited.
Right.
And we are, the rest of it's pretty much distribution agreements. But we're selling into Australia, the rest of Europe, and the East. First foray is Taiwan.
And you got the attention of Brian Joffe, one of South Africa's foremost entrepreneurs, person who's grown multiple businesses over time.
Yes, great deal maker.
Is he a demanding shareholder?
Brian is direct. And every time I go into his office, he asks me how many shoes I've sold, which ultimately is the question that, you know, that's the ultimate thing to answer.
But when you started out, your goal was sell 3 pairs a day.
Well, this is, yeah, absolutely. We knew that we needed some stranger validation. In other words, somebody other than your mother buying it. And you needed to start small. So we got three pairs of shoes selling a day for the first 2 months. It was 90 odd pairs of shoes, about 100 pairs of shoes a month. And then it grows out of that. But what we realized is that, you know, especially then the funding comes, and then the scale comes, and then finally the gray hair comes. But in those early days, what was important was to just start, just to get going, get a sale going, make sure that somebody can transact with money on the internet, which in a conversation sounds incredibly easy, but I can guarantee you it's very, very difficult. And in fact, you know, it's a team effort. It's a family effort. I remember my wife, Freya, sitting in a Postnet writing out waybills, maybe 50 or 60 waybills, and it took so long that the Postnet at the waterfront brought furniture for her because she was, 6 months pregnant. And I made her sit there for like 4 or 5 hours on the weekend every single Saturday writing out waybills.
You're going to pay for that for the rest of your life. Nick Dreyer, thank you very much indeed. The founder and chief executive of Feltskoon. Watch the story. It's going to be a great South African success story, taking the world by a storm.